Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're now recording. And we're learning today about the name of Allah al-Hakim. Alright, no talking. So the name of Allah al-Hakim. Okay, the name of Allah al-Hakim is very important name to understand very well and to believe in, that whatever happened, no one can come up with a better scenario than whatever has happened. You see this trick? No better scenario can be more than what already happened. What do you mean? What is your understanding of this sentence? What do you understand from here? Yeah. If you believe for a second that someone can come up with a better scenario than what already has happened, then you don't believe in Allah's name al-Hakim. Just sit up a little. Sit up. You don't believe in the name of Allah al-Hakim. You got it? Keep that in your mind. Now, can you explain this to me? Like, do you really believe that whatever has happened is the most wise scenario and no one can come up with a better scenario than this? How do you feel about this sentence? What if the scenario includes that somebody robs you? Do you still think that this is the best, most wise scenario that could ever happen?
Well, I mean, if Allah knew that it was coming, okay, say that you were like a greedy person and everything, and somebody stole your money. Uh-huh. So it was probably for the best for you because, you know, you're like greedy.
But if you're a good person and then in the middle of nowhere you get a car accident, for example, and become handicapped.
Okay, then yeah.
Then how can you tell me that this is the best scenario can ever happen?
Well, it's Allah's will. So.
It's Allah's will, but how can you explain that? You know, here is this question. You came late, that nothing happened. Okay, whatever has happened in the past, nobody can come up with a better scenario than what already happened. And if you don't believe in that, then you don't believe in the name of Allah al-Hakim. And then I was asking, how could this be right? How do you feel about this sentence? What if what happens already includes that you get a car accident and you become handicapped? Then how could you say that this thing, what happened, is the best, if it's bad for me? So any other thoughts? Okay. Because when Allah decides about something to happen, there are winners and losers. Right? So, what happened is, you know, the winners will love what happened, right? Because they're winners. And losers will hate what happened, right? So, what you want to say, you say, Ya Allah, in the scenario that you're deciding, in the scenario that you are what? Deciding, okay? Please make me among the winners. You got it? So whatever scenario you're deciding, you are saying, Ya Allah, please make me among the winners. Don't make me among the losers. Got it? Okay. So the second point that we need to know about the name of Allah al-Hakim is being poor and being believer. So being poor or rich and being unbeliever or non-believer or believer.
other one that we did, the good Muslim and good non-Muslim and bad Muslim and bad non-Muslim?
No, it's a different scenario. Now, can I get you guys to write? Go ahead.
No.
I just wanted them to write their email addresses because of my email client. So.
I wanted the email addresses from you guys, so can you give me?
Oh.
Write their name and email.
Oh,
well,
that's just
all you want
to
do.
Yeah.
Like on one page.
Here. I think that was the
plan. Write in one page.
Okay, so let's say, what happens if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes every poor, every non-believer to be poor, and every believer to be rich? Think about it. What will happen? Huh? You know what will happen if Allah does that? Everybody, Allah said this in the Quran, that everybody will turn into being non-believers. That this is going to make everybody on earth is going to be non-believer. Non-believer for the sake of what?
Allah.
No. For the sake of money. That's right. You see? So Allah doesn't want us to have this under relationship in our mind. Hey, I become believer. I'm sorry. Then every. No. I got it the other way around. I got it the other way
around. There's no E for non-believers. No, I mean, like, it's N-O-N. There's no E after the N.
Right?
Like for the non part, there's no E.
Yeah, okay. And then this is believer. So, if every believer is going to be poor, and every rich person is going to be, and every non-believer is going to be rich, Allah said, everybody on earth would become non-believer for the sake of money. You got it? All right. So how about the other way around? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the believers rich and the non-believers poor? What will happen? What's going to be wrong with that scenario? Think about it. What's going to be wrong with the scenario that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes every believer rich and every non-believer poor? So let's look at the opposite scenario. What do you share your thoughts with me? What do you think will go wrong if Allah will make every believer? Every believer?
If every believer was poor and every non-believer was rich, the non-believers wouldn't like give things to Allah or anything, or like you know, for the money and like help giving them a good life, and the believers would be ungrateful to Allah because like He made them poor while He made the others rich, and they were not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh no.
Okay. So the this is, yeah, and then there's another wisdom here that she just shared with us, that non-believers will always be strong and non-believers will always be rich. Always two L's, right?
No, one L.
Will always be rich and strong. And they will corrupt the word. Non-believers, if the bad guys is always rich and the good guys is always poor, then what's going to happen? The bad guys would be stronger always. And guess what would happen if the bad guys are always stronger? They're going to corrupt the world, right? Do you agree with me? So now, let's say if all believers are rich and all non-believers are poor, you know why this issue is so important? Why do you think this issue, being rich and poor, is so important? Because a lot of people are not satisfied with what they have. Do you know that? The sky's the limit. If you have 1 million, you want two. You would never be, very, very few people are satisfied with whatever Allah has given them. Most of the people will say, you know, I want more. And they always look at Steve Jobs, and they say, we want to be like Steve Jobs. And then when they become like Steve Jobs, they want more. You see what I'm saying here? That most of the people are not satisfied with what they have. And the other grass is always cleaner, you know? It's always greener, all right? So you always say, Allah was not fair with me, okay? This person has more money than me. And very, very, it's very impolite with Allah, or it's a bad act of non-belief. It's a bad act of having a low image of Allah, you know? When you say, oh, Allah doesn't know what He's doing. This guy is a nasty guy and He's making him rich. I am a good guy and He's making me poor. Did you hear this before? Huh? Yeah, I heard that before. Everybody's saying, no, this division of the division of shares among people is what? Is not fair. Always people think that way. Look at this bad guy is rich. Look at this good guy is poor. So what will happen if Allah will make all believers rich and all non-believers poor? What will happen? What will go wrong? Think.
All believers rich, all non-believers.
What will go wrong?
The believers would thank Allah.
The believers would be, huh?
Thank Allah, or?
No, something will go wrong.
Wait, oh, they would stop worshiping Allah because they're already rich?
No. They would continue to be believers and continue to be rich.
Then they'll be richer and richer and richer.
Yeah. That the test, there will be no test.
No.
You know why?
Because
believers, people will believe for the sake of money. not for the sake of Allah.
So that's wrong. That's
yeah.
not right.
Allah doesn't do that. So
can you
why?
Can you describe believer for non-believer Christian?
It's right there.
Oh, yeah, I already have that. Okay.
So people will believe for the sake of money. Not for the sake of Allah. And there's always this thing. You say, hey, buddy, if you become a Muslim, you will get $1 million. What do you think? How many people are going to say
everyone.
No?
Oh, no, everyone's going to want to do it.
Yes. How many people will say, hey, if you become a Muslim, I'll give you $1 million. How many people are going to say no?
Nobody.
Then where is the test? So there will be no test. There will be no test. How about why Allah doesn't make everybody rich? Why does Allah make all people rich? What will go wrong if all people go rich? Allah also said that in the Quran. Huh? What will happen if everybody's rich?
Then everyone becomes spoiled.
They are going to turn into spoiled brats. Yeah. People will be spoiled. And ruin life on earth. What else? There is something important. Do you know this pyramid? Like rich, middle class, poor. You know that pyramid? Now, this pyramid is not going to be a pyramid anymore. So it's going to be a rectangle, like this. It's going to be a rectangle of all rich. Now, what is going to be wrong if we don't have this pyramid? There will be a big problem. You know what? Who's going to collect the trash? Who's going to clean the toilets? Who is going to sell your burgers? Who's going to clean your backyard? There will be a problem. Who's going to make bread for you? You know what I'm saying? Then there will be a big problem. And then rich people have power. And they will be a lot more power struggle. You know power struggle? Because power struggle happens when people are all powerful.
No, but like the thing is, if everyone were rich on earth, then not everyone has the capability and like enough common sense to be rich in a good way. So like people become rich now because they can prove through all the tests and PhDs and stuff that they're smart and that they are very capable, but if everyone were rich, then, you know, stupid people can get the money and use it for stupid things.
So that is also an issue, that talent, always genius people, very smart, are always few. And okay, average. and then those little intelligence. So they have like little intelligence, like they are not very intelligent. Tell me what will happen if the pyramid is like that. I mean, if this pyramid is not the case. If all people are smart, or most of the people are smart, what will happen? Smart
then
people...
everyone would start arguing with each other and we'd have a big chaos.
Yes. Not only that, but also let me tell you something. If everybody, I mean, people say, I've heard people say Allah loves stupid people. And the argument, I was then asking this person, why are you saying Allah loves stupid people? He said, because He created so many of them. He created so many stupid people, right? There are so many. Look here on the bottom of the triangle. There are so many stupid people. And He created the, you know, the intelligentsia is very small. So we always say these people are the third level and can easily be fooled. Now, like what they do in the in the elections, they fool people in the elections, right? They fool people. Why? And they win the elections. That will tell you that one man, one vote is one man, there's a problem. One man, one vote, there's a problem with that. What's the problem? Because stupid people will always be the ones who control the vote.
Yeah, that's what happened in Bangladesh. All the stupid people chose the president, and so now they have a stupid president.
Exactly. See, or a not stupid president is a wicked president who knew
how to
play.
Get all the poor people to vote for them.
Exactly. So one man is one vote is a disaster, because you can fool the third level people, and there are so many, and you can always win the vote. So this is one of these problems. One man equals one vote is a problem. Causes problems. You know, the media, the ones who get fooled by propaganda, the propaganda of the media, are mostly stupid, right? Why? Intelligent people, whether they are Muslims or not, they hate the American media. Why? Because they call it a one-sided media. One-sided media means it does not present both sides, right? It presents only one side. So intelligent people say, that is not what I want. I want them to present both sides, and I decide which side I like and which side I don't like. Intelligent people do that. Go ahead.
When there's like one of those cases, like the Amanda Knox case, they always like, they don't really like present like both sides. It's always like, oh yeah, you know, she did this. Like they're accusing the person, but you know, it's like, oh, you know, like that person, they've been like, they either did do it or they didn't, but it's always the news articles that say, oh yeah, they did do it, like the thing that...
Exactly. Real journalism, there is real journalism, and there is... Can you turn it off? Okay. Real journalism, and there are propaganda. Propaganda is just one side, just like she said. Real journalism, they present both sides, and the guy get to decide. Intelligent people love that way. Intelligent people don't like somebody to tell them what is right and what's wrong. Say, who are you to tell me what's right and what's wrong?
Who do you think?
Who are you? You present both sides and I get to choose. You see? So, but one man, one vote causes problems because the masses are stupid and they can easily be fooled. Yeah,
that,
they can easily.
That is what happened in Bangladesh.
That's
why the everywhere
they have such a corrupt government, and that's why my parents are so mad, and everyone else's parents are really mad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is what happens. If you can mobilize the third level people, you can make.
Did you hear what happened in Bangladesh?
No.
You guys are here? You guys, the building fell and 1,500 people so far died.
Yeah. No, but they found a girl.
What girl?
It's a clothing factory, right?
Yeah, no, not a clothing factory.
Garment.
No, it wasn't a garment.
Yeah, inside the building.
No, what happened? So, they were having a lot of rebels that were against the president or like making a lot of protests
rebellions.
And stuff. Yeah, rebellions, whatever. And what happened? What happened was they had a group of people like manager and. The engineer, he built a building for his factory, and the engineer, he accidentally built it with the wrong material, and so he's like, don't go in there, you know, it's gonna fall, and then the manager still made everyone go inside, and then they saw cracks and stuff, but the manager still wouldn't let anyone out, and then like the whole building
did
collapsed.
He die?
No, the manager didn't die.
Oh, shut up.
It was
he tried to escape to India, but then
was caught. No, but like the thing
because
is,
he died. That's the best possible.
But
outcome.
The thing is, but now they think that the people did it on purpose because the president, when the issue was brought up to the president, no, she didn't say anything about it, and so she thought it would be a way to stop the rebellions from you know,
overthrowing the government.
So like it is, and so now there's like tons of people.
Maybe you should overthrow the government. Sometime.
I should, but like
maybe you just have to do teaching.
So here is the thing, revolution always have to be done by what? By the third level people.
What do you mean?
With little intelligence?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but
because they are the masses.
No, it's not just because they're the masses, but also because, like, the rich people like their lives. You know, they have no reason to rebel. The middle class are also, like, too comfortable, right? But the poor people have nothing to lose. So
yeah, middle people don't want to take any risks.
Exactly.
Exactly. And you cannot have a revolution without the poor people, without the third level. Why? Because they are the masses. Hosni Mubarak was kicked out of power only when the masses went protesting. You got it? So he was kicked out of power. Other than that, if you have like an intelligent group, they can crush them like that because the numbers are so little. You got it? All right. So now, the second point is that Allah, okay, so love of Allah. Being rich, is it the sign of love of Allah? Is it sign of love from Allah?
No.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah gives wealth to the ones whom he likes and to the ones whom he hates. Do Allah hate people? Yes. Is he angry at them? Yes. Why? Because they are criminals, bad guys. I mean, they don't deserve any kind of mercy. They don't deserve any, the bad guys. So Allah says, the Prophet says that Allah gives money to both bad guys and
good guys.
All right? Why is that? Because the Prophet said, because the sign of love of Allah is righteousness. If Allah will love you, He will make you righteous. Okay, so there always be people say that, okay, if you want to know Allah loves you or not, check yourself and see what role you are living, what role you are playing in this life. So if you are playing the role of a thief, okay, in this life, you're playing the role of a thief, then does Allah love you?
No.
If you're playing the role of Quran teacher, then would Allah love you?
No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, wait. Sorry, yeah. Yes. Sorry, I was thinking about something
isn't
else.
Isn't it vice versa, though?
Huh?
Isn't it the other way around?
No. The sign of love of Allah can be seen from the role that you're playing in life.
Isn't it the role of life that determines whether...
No, she...
Can you pass this up, Badru?
Yeah.
The one right under you.
If you want to figure it out, Allah knows, okay? But you want to figure out Allah loves or not.
She thinks that you're talking about, like, if Allah loves you, then you'll make you a Quran teacher, right?
No.
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 The converse of the statement. If you're a
if you love
Allah, then you'll be a Quran teacher.
Wait, see?
If Gary has a trumpet lesson, it's...
It was a star test question.
No, now let me tell you something. A rich person will say like this.
There it goes.
I am rich because I am rich because Allah loves me. Like in the chapter of the people of the cave, the rich guy says, I am rich because Allah loves me because I'm rich. That's he says, that he claimed. Look, look what he gave to me. There was in Surah Al-Kahf, there was a debate between a rich non-believer and a poor believer. They were debating. So the rich person said, look at you and look at me. Look, Allah must love me. He gave me all of this wealth and gardens and look at you. Look at you. Like dirty, low-class person who does have nothing. Look at you and look at me. Allah loves me, of course, and he doesn't like you. Because he gave me the good things and he didn't give you any of them. And he knows what he's doing, of course. Of course, he knows what he's doing. He gave me the money because I deserve. Of course. He doesn't know what he's doing. I deserve it. It's not a favor. It's that I earned it because I'm smart. He loves me because he gave me money. And he knows what he's doing. So the poor person says, no. The sign of love of Allah is not that you're rich. The sign of the love of Allah is what role you are playing in this life. If you're playing the role of a good person, then Allah loves you. If you're playing the role of a bad person, then Allah doesn't like you. And this is always good to check. Because some people go bad without feeling. They keep, diverting away from the straight path until they find themselves way far from the right path. From the straight path, yes. And then at the end, they got used to the bad life, or they got used to being bad, that they just convinced themselves that we're good. What's wrong we're doing? We're just stealing money from the poor, from the rich, to give it to the poor. What's wrong we're doing? Well, you're a thief. You know what I'm saying? People sometimes lie to themselves and say, what's wrong we're doing? I'm doing something good. You know? And lie to themselves and deceive themselves. So this is the rich guy in Surah Al-Kahf.
What is that?
Okay. Rich, bad
guy. Does he have two mouths? Can you put it like a little like...
He's so arrogant.
The eyebrow thing. Oh, there. That one looks better.
That's okay.
Is it you?
Or,
I'll tell you.
Good guy.
That lady, the one that's
doing
painting. Oh,
you're
unicorns.
You faces are unicorns. Unicorns.
No.
Can we draw them?
No. Let's not go there.
To the unicorns.
So you understand here? Do you understand here? Check out what role you're playing in life. If you're playing the role of a person who is a reformer, who is struggling for the sake of making the world a better place, then you are, Allah loves you. But if you're checking yourself to see you're a crook, you're playing the role of a crook, you're deceiving people, you're robbing people, okay, then you know that Allah doesn't like you. What if you want Allah to like you? Then you change yourself. Change yourself. Okay. Now, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in making everybody, making the pyramid like that, that the rich people are on the top, is because Allah don't want everybody to rule. How many rulers can be? How many people, rulers can be? It's going to be one. So if you know, so here.
Shouldn't the rich guy and the poor guy be the opposite way around because the rich guy had time to do his eyebrows and the rich guy didn't? That's why he has a unibrow.
No.
That's what you're thinking about.
Yeah.
You have really nice eyebrows.
Okay.
Oh, God. Is it a shame to compliment people on their eyebrows?
No. It's just odd. Well, the rich guy is bad, so I guess, yeah.
How about division? How about division of wealth? How about division of wealth? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides the wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides your wealth before you're born. Divide the wealth among people before creating the heavens and earth. You know that? Allah said in Surah Al-Jathiyah that the shares of life are divided among people before creating heavens and earth. Do people believe that? Do you believe that your shares of life has been pre-assigned? And it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to get more or less?
No.
Yeah. Be aware of that. Now the question is, then what happens? If this is the case, then what happens?
Then people would stop trying.
Exactly.
But
so
that's
for
the whole other argument that we had that other time.
Well, yeah, if Allah is...
Wait, but isn't your share of life pre-assigned?
Yes, pre-assigned. Allah pre-assigns all your shares of life. So Allah assigns how many children you're going to have, the shares of life, how many children you have, what kind of car, what kind of, how much money you're getting, how much food you're getting, how much are pre-assigned. Now the question is, if they are pre-assigned, then where is the test?
I always thought that there were Allah pre-assigned you two things, and like according to the decisions you make, you get either one. You know.
What you were pre-assigned depends on the decisions that you
were. You don't know what you were pre-assigned.
You don't know what you were pre-assigned, so you try to do your best.
Basically.
Yes!
We got the answer.
We already went over this.
Brother Ali, I should get an A+ for that.
I pointed that.
We did this.
Yeah.
What?
We did this at the beginning of the year.
No, we did this at the beginning of the year.
Yol to pa.
You know what?
Wants to please Allah.
Then where is the test? The test is, how do you get those shares of life? So this is the shares of life, and this is you. Let's put it here. This is you. Okay. The question is, how do you get your shares of life? So the question is, how do you get your share? Huh? How do you get your share? How do you get your share? There are two ways to get your share. Either halal way or haram way. Happiness has been pre-assigned. Sadness has been pre-assigned. Pleasure has been pre-assigned. You know? Pain has been pre-assigned. Everything has been pre-assigned. But the question is, how do you want to get your share? If it's halal way, you go to Jannah. If it's haram way, you go to hellfire.
I get it.
Okay?
I get it.
That's the test. Your shares, trust me, that $1,000 that you stole, for example, all right? That $1,000 would have come to you the halal way if Allah knew that you're not going to steal, He's going to give it to you the halal way. I'll give you an example. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he was, which is the cousin of the Prophet, the husband of Prophet of the Prophet's daughter, Fatima. He was like very, you know, honorable person. And then he had a camel. And he wanted to go to do some business in the town. And he did not want to take the camel with him. So he went and he looked for a person that looks like an honest person. Looks like an honest person. And then he said, okay. He said that, okay, here's my camel. Can you please keep an eye on my camel until I come back? So the person was staring at the camel and says, wow, this is a really nice camel you got here. He said, yes. Can I trust you with this camel until I do my business and come back? He said, yeah, of course, you can. Then, as soon as Ali radiallahu anhu left, okay, Ali ibn Abi Talib left, and then he did his business. And while in his way back, he said, well, this guy liked the camel so much. I can do a good deed by giving him the camel as a gift. See? So he made up his mind that he's going to go back and give him the camel as a gift. He went back, he found that the guy stole the camel. So he said, subhanAllah, if he would have waited a few minutes, he would have got it the halal way. But because Allah knows that he's a bad guy, He gave it to him the what? Haram way. You got it?
Wait, then how did... If Allah gave it to him the haram way, then how does... How is it his fault?
I tell you his fault. Allah knows that he... A person who is not going to accept haram, is determined, I am not going to accept haram. Then Allah, because of that, Allah will give it to him the halal way. But if a person says, haram is okay. Oh. I can do haram, no problem. Then Allah will give him the haram way. So basically, you have the interest, Allah will let it, you know, happen. You got it? Another...
Was it like that question at the beginning of the year where it's like, oh, well, if Allah pre-assigns everything, then is it really free will?
Yes, there's a free will. Allah pre-assigns the shares only. Look, Allah pre-assigns what? The shares. The test is here. You see here? This one? This is the test. What is the test? Test. The test is always, you go this way or that way. Here's your test. Is your test here? No. Allah swears in His glory in the Quran that I have been pre-assigned your wealth in before you're even born. Before you're even born, I have assigned your wealth. But the question is, you decide how do you want to get it, the halal way or the haram way. If you are determined not to accept haram, then Allah will give it to you the halal way. Another thing is share of pain. You know the share of pain and pleasure? It's pre-assigned. Allah assigned to you like 50 units of pleasure and 30 units of pain, for example, and suffering. Or Allah assigns you 1 year of suffering and 2 years of joy. Okay? Who decides that? Allah. Okay? Allah could give you a lot of money and give you depression. How many rich people committed suicide that you know?
None.
Hmm?
What?
No,
there
come on.
There's a ton. They go through so much stress and stuff. They're just like, I'm done with life.
Yeah, see?
I know poor people.
So, you know, rich people...
Poor people don't commit suicide.
Yeah, poor people... The thing is, rich people, they don't have hope in something. Like,
exactly.
You know, but...
They tried it all.
Yeah, they tried it all. But poor people,
they have
hope.
Something to look
for. They have
for.
A motivation to live towards, you know? Like, whether
right.
it's I have to feed my family, or I have to, you know, I have to give my brother or sister a good life. Like, rich people, they already have that stuff, so...
You know how much pain and depression do you need to have to actually go into committing suicide? There's a lot. So if you're so rich and you have everything, Okay? Allah gave you everything, but you still... But Allah gave you depression.
You don't have a motivation to live.
Allah gives you depression. Then what happens? You end up not having pleasure from what you have. You're not enjoying what you have. You see what I'm saying? So Allah could make you rich, but could make you miserable at the same time. You'll be a miserable rich. You'll be a miserable rich. Now, usually, my observation is that the people who are miserable rich, the people who are miserable rich, are usually the people who care only about themselves. You know? But the people who are rich and they work in a charity or do something for others, they are usually, my observation, they are usually rich and happy, not rich and miserable. You got it? So if you're rich and you think only about yourself, most likely you'll be miserable. If you're rich and thinking about doing something to others, most likely you'll be happy rich. Okay. So now, another concept that you need to learn about, that your share of pain is going to come to you, whether you like it or not, it will come to you. So what is the best way to get your share of pain?
Get it the halal way.
Yes, which is during like prayer, reading Quran, working for the sake of Allah, fasting. Fasting is pain, right?
Oh, can I say something?
Go ahead.
There was a picture and it was like Ramadan, let the real Hunger Games begin. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah. Right.
It's a real Hunger Games.
Yeah. See,
it's not some Katniss
pain. You can have your shares of pain in worshipping Allah and doing something for others. Okay? If you don't, then Allah will give it to you in a cancer. You're going to get your shares of pain. Your shares of pain are going to go to you. You're going to get them. There is no way you're not going to get them. Then you choose, how do you want to get them? If you run away from doing the prayers and the fasting, you say, because it's painful, you think that you're smart, you close the door of pain. No, Allah will bring it from a different direction. Allah could give you a nagging spouse. Allah could give you a bad spouse. Allah is going to give you, Allah could give you a cancer. Your shares of pain are going to be delivered to you. You choose where to put them. You want to put them in prayers and fasting, you get good deeds. You want to put them in other stuff, like Allah will give you to you anyway. How about your shares of pleasure? Did you guys ever got lectures about drugs in the school?
Yeah.
They say what? They say drugs is that like you take the pleasure that is in the future and you drag it into the present, right? It's like this. It's like instead of having happiness, like uniform level of happiness that goes this way, you take it all and you put it in the time that you are taking the drugs. So,
drugs is like,
so here is time, of course. Here is time,
like,
and here is happiness. A normal person have uniform level of happiness like that. Now, when you take drug, you take the future happiness and bring it into the present. So you're like doing this. You're taking it from the future. Yes. This is acceleration of happiness. This is your level
no,
here.
No, that's not acceleration. That's constant velocity.
So you basically collect them all into the present. You got it? You collect them. So the question. Drugs. Normal. They always draw this thing, and when you talk to you about drugs, they always draw this chart and say, you're really not increasing your happiness. You're basically, pulling...
Making it bipolar.
You know, you're sucking your future happiness. Then guess what happens now?
You're poor.
You're miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, the way drugs work is that first time you have to be happy, but then after that you start becoming dependent on it for your happiness.
Oh,
so then you don't take them. You're miserable.
I have a story about crystal psych in Paris. My my friend's mom was there and everything. And
your friend smokes?
No. Because what happened was like her mom was on the train station and everything, and like right when the train was about to stop and the doors were about to open, like this dude he just comes up and he just takes the phone away, and he runs away. But then like my friend's mom caught up with him and you know she was just watching what happened. He like and it was in some weird place. He was like exchanging the phone for like. Drugs or something, or like there was something in this bag and it was all powdery, so yeah, it's like they'll do anything to get that. So
you can think of this concept that the same thing we're talking about, by the way, is that okay, this is your share, these are shares of happiness. You can get them the haram way, look, you can get them the haram way, or you can get them the halal way. You see? But at the end, it's the same amount. It's the same amount of happiness, okay, that is given to you. Same exact amount, all right? And people don't get equal shares. Know that. Some people get very little shares. Some people get a lot of shares. So there's no equality in Allah's dividing of shares. Allah does that based on His wisdom. All right? So you girls are dismissed. And remember, the typical home. The final is going to be a take-home final.